Welcome to Ray's Music Reviews, a currently musical podcast.
Are we pivoting at some point?
We're
doing a figure skating reviews next week.
I think art.
Art?
Paintings.
Painting? Dude, let's not get into that because that would be something I would enjoy.
But not really paintings, murals.
That's even better, honestly. I've seen some good murals. I saw a cow mural a couple weeks ago.
Cow mural?
Yes.
Ray, what would you like to talk about?
Can we get to the music, please?
Yeah, sure. Let's go.
What music did we listen to this week?
This episode will be on the classic, the watershed moment in hip-hop and R&B, Miseducation of Lauryn Hill by Lauryn Hill.
Yes. 1998 album, I believe.
Yes. Which is kind of, as I said, kind of a watershed moment for just not just introspective hip hop, just like in general. Like this might be the most mainstream introspective hip hop got. I mean,
also mainstream is in five Grammys, you know? Mainstream. Best new artist, best album.
And deservedly.
All of it.
Yeah.
The whole works.
Dude.
Do you want me to give a quick springboard as to how she got
this album? This album has been very much acclaimed by multiple people, of course. Many people love its this is kind of the love child of R&B and introspective hip hop, and in a lot of ways, it works extremely well.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, every facet of it is silky smooth too.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, should we get into the questions?
Well,
I will be asking. Okay.
Can we intro her a little bit?
Yeah.
Lauryn Hill comes into this record that she winds up being the primary songwriter and producer of, hot off the heels of a breakthrough band in its own right, the Fugees, with the record The Score. Their second record winds up being huge. Her vocal performance in Killing Me Softly springboards her into a superstar. Her rap performances on that album springboard her to, as thought of highly by most people, as the greatest female rapper of all time. She's in a relationship with Wyclef Jean. That doesn't work out. She gets into a relationship with Rohan Marley. And those two things, along with her having a child, become subject matter that she records some of this in New York and then goes to Jamaica and dives in even fuller. She brings multiple instruments into this thing, and it is amazing.
It's
now, what are we doing with questions?
How'd you feel about the opener? We are going to count, should we count, we should probably count the intro segment and the lost ones.
Yeah, usually when they have like a skit,
yeah,
for the first one, I usually couple it with the first like official song
or a short ones. Song, you know.
Yes, Lost Ones, is amazing, it's incredible.
Yeah, a great way to open the album, too, with that drum kick.
Dude, like, the first four songs are, like, incredible. The first, it comes out absolutely swinging on all cylinders. Wait, that's not how that goes. But, like, you understand what I mean, where it's like, dude,
it's running Lost on all Ones cylinders.
To X Factor,
to Zion,
to Doo-Wop, dude.
It's amazing.
And Super Sorry, nothing to snot at either.
No.
Lost Ones kind of lets you know, first of all, and going back before we even talk about the first song, all of the skits fit so perfectly. It's like, you know, it's a classroom scenario in which you have a male teacher discussing with kids emotions, and I couldn't help but think, what if we really had a class where we got to wade through the waters of relationship development, which you absolutely do not have in life, to help you wade those waters and create you to be a more functional person in your personal life, which is kind of a neat thing to me. And like you said, that's a springboard to the fact that the whole album is introspective. Lost Ones is a shot across the bow at Wyclef Jean, record producers, anybody else that didn't think she could do it on her own. You know what I mean? You may have gained that. You lost one, and the one you lost was the one you should have kept. You know, and it's just a pow. I loved it.
Dude, let's talk about the rhyme scheme for this song.
Woo.
Which was awesome.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It was like she just rhymes like every five lines, ending them with the same, and then moves on to a different one so smoothly, dude. Mm-hmm. It's top tier.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
How'd you feel about the closer, Tell Him?
I thought it was quite good.
It was good. It was good. It wasn't one of the better songs on the album, but yeah, it was still pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Should we move on to the next question, or do you have more to say?
No, I don't have more to say.
What is your favorite and least favorite cut or song?
I have to give a special shout out to Zion.
Carlos Santana playing guitar.
Dude, that is one of the most beautiful, achingly beautiful songs I've ever heard. Straight up.
To describe how nobody thought you should have a child because that would hurt your career, and how it's the fact that you went through that and it has made you stronger and it is the purpose for your being.
Dude, I've never been in love like this before. I thank you for choosing me. Dude, it is achingly sweet, achingly beautiful.
Your child choosing you.
Dude, I mean, this whole album has like elements of spirituality that's like less like official like Bible quotes and more the just general feelings of love.
Forgive them, Father. She really dives into that in a very combative yet understanding way.
Yes.
You know, it's so strong.
But in this one, it uses like biblical imagery to like give form to how much love she feels for her son. Dude, this song is beautiful.
Absolutely.
It's so beautiful.
Absolutely. Dude, it's really hard to dive into. Like, Superstars feels like almost a shot at Praz. You know what I mean? And then, like, Doo-Wop is obviously the runaway hit. Everything is wonderful. D'Angelo, I don't know that D'Angelo only has three albums, and he has, like, this really cool record that is, like, him in a London cafe somewhere. And I don't know that his voice is on anything that isn't wonderful. And this is included. Nothing Even Matters. Every Ghetto, Every City is like her personal. It's hard to say, man, this is the best record on here. You know what I mean?
Mine? Yeah. X Factor or Doo-Wop?
I hear
excellent choices.
Mostly Doo-Wop, mostly because when she says, like, if you build yourself on one thing, people will only love you for that one thing. And how that kind of comes across as common sense, even though no one has latched onto it.
Dude.
Right? You know?
You could totally say that again. That is awesome.
That was great.
And it's... The hook is so good.
The hook, dude, it gets stuck in my head constantly.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to say a different song as your favorite, or Zion is absolutely your favorite?
Dude, I mean, I will say the doo-wop. Just the elements of the lyrics being so good, in addition to the hook being killer, the vocal performances on this thing are phenomenal.
Do you like...
hooks, man. It hurts so bad, when it hurts so bad.
Dude.
Nothing dude, even matters. Come on, man.
She is so good at fusing her singing voice with her rapping.
Oh, yeah. It flows.
What's crazy is she is thought of as... And her voice, her rapping has a... very strong, combative style to it, but her singing has a genuineness that offsets it. She is so
many flavors,
incredible.
Yeah,
just and not even counting the fact that she brings in harps and strings and timpanis and clarinets and all that and organs all in here with along with just this is so good.
There's no least favorite tracks, right?
No, dude, I can't pick one.
No, but honestly. I want to say this, and if it's okay with y'all,
this is absolutely okay.
My Eyes Off of You. You guys have heard the original, right?
Yes, I believe I have. It's been a while.
Probably.
Frankie Valli.
Yeah, probably.
Jersey Boy. Okay. To me, if you do a cover correctly, you make it your own in a way. Frankie Valli, when he does I Can't Take My Eyes Off of You, it is a sweeping, epic, if you believe in me, I can take us to greater heights feel. This is not that. This is very, it starts out kind of fun and all that, but when she starts to sing it, it is very much... It's okay to be in love with me. I need you to be in love with me. And then things will be okay. It's the words are the exact same, and the way and the vulnerability in her delivery allows the song to give you goosebumps all over, because she needs you to believe in her, because she believes in you. And it's so different, and it's so, that's probably my favorite. I think I listened to that song 15 times this week, and I listened to the Frankie Valli version 3, just because it just overwhelmed me at how those two things are different, yet you use the same exact words. It's amazing. It's
crazy. It's like the way you say things can, like the best vocalists, the way they say things will mean just as much, if not more, than the words.
Right. The best vocalist, it has to do with pronunciation, enunciation, where you inflex, where you hold the note. It's why Frank Sinatra can sing somebody else's song and it matters. You know what I mean? Or Johnny Cash hurt.
Johnny Cash is hurt.
I mean,
the way he sings it makes that song the way it is.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
How'd you feel about the production?
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's lush and beautiful.
Yeah. Just like the layers of instruments and vocals.
Every bass line.
Dude, every bass line. Oh, it's just a joy to listen to.
And sometimes it uses like their voice as an instrument.
Yes.
And it all just comes together in such a beautiful way. Do you feel like this album was properly lengthed?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It was a very brief hour, too.
I will say, maybe a bit, but I just like shorter albums. That's totally a preference.
Sometimes, I mean, if I'm very picky about it, sometimes I could say that it can get a little long, but that would just only be me just straight up nickpicking.
In all honesty, it's just like I don't really have anything that I would want to remove. That's the part where it's just like it's all great.
May I mention before we rate this out of 10, may I mention when she did the Fugees, she went to herself and she only gave us one album. What a freaking album that was.
Crazy. Mm-hmm.
What would we rate this out of 10?
I give it 10.
Man. 9 to 9.5. I'm not even an R&B guy. I don't even like R&B all that much, but this was just like the pinnacle.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, 9, 9.5.
It's between a 10 and a 9.
It's phenomenal.
I had forgotten how it came out. And I had forgotten how absolutely wonderful it is. You know, I mean, because you get hemmed up over the years, you only hear 3 tracks off of it. In this case, Doo-Wop is the only one that's really lived on. And it just, like you said, when you get to Zion, you haven't even got to Doo-Wop yet, and you're like, man, this is phenomenal. And then you still have these things to go. It's just amazing.
I think part of that is in something that's as introspective and thoughtful as an album like this, it's hard to take singles off of it. Like, To Zion was probably my favorite track, but I would not hear that on the radio because it makes more sense in the album than it does outside of it. Mm-hmm. Doo-Wop is probably the song that can be the most easily removed.
Absolutely.
But everything else is so personal that hearing it out of the context of the album would be a little
exactly different. Absolutely.
I also feel like because every other song is so personal, Lauryn Hill kind of going after everybody else in doo-wop, it was kind of, you know, it was, I don't know how to word it, but in a weird way, it felt really important in just how she would go after other people for not being introspective, for not...
Absolutely.
It's between a 9 and a 10. I'll give it a 9.5.
Nice.
Love this album.
So good. What new music did you guys listen to?
I mostly listen to older stuff. I went through a couple Kids See Ghosts playthroughs just because, man, that album is crisp, quick,
absolutely,
and phenomenal. What did you listen to?
What did I listen to? I ended up listening to a new Foo Fighters song. I don't like it. I listened to it too. To me,
interesting percussion early in the record.
It's
record.
I'm sorry. let me say this. it sounds pretty lazy.
It sounds
like old Foo Fighters. And granted, that's what they are, but I feel like a lot of people had done the "we're the old version of ourselves" better. You know, like a Tribe Called Quest did on their last album. Or that's a little too different, but you get the same vibe. We're old now, and we're bringing it back. But
don't ever mention a Tribe Called Quest and the Foo Fighters in the same sentence again. I will come across this table.
Hey, you're right.
All right. especially when you compare, like, I've never been the biggest Foo Fighters guy, but especially if you compare this single to their other singles. This is a first single, too, which is weird for it to be as, like, melodramatic as it is.
Interesting and percussion.
If you compare this to their other singles, like their last one, Run, or Monkey Wrench, they're a lot more high-paced. They're good.
I appreciate the Foo Fighters, although I'm like you, I'm not really a Foo guy. I do appreciate that they have kept rock music alive for like a decade. It frustrates me that they're the only band that gets to go on award shows, because I feel like there is other good rock music out there.
But I feel like all the good other rock music is fairly underground.
But I do want to piggyback on something you said about bands doing the same thing that they used to do. I listened to the new AC/DC this week. Power Up would be the
name of it. Talk about a one-trick pony.
Well, I was going to talk about that just a little bit. Now, it absolutely is an AC/DC album and a recent AC/DC album, and it's the kind of thing you listen to one song, you're like, yeah, that's AC/DC. And then you get to four in and you're like, it's the same. Here's the thing is, I feel like as a guy who considers himself an AC/DC fan, you had Back in Black, and then you move on to like Blow Up Your Video and all that. And then you move on to, which is Heatseeker. And then you move on to like Razor's Edge. Razor's Edge, they hit Thunderstruck, Money Talks, Mistress for Christmas. Money Talks, Thunderstruck, formulaic, they found their formula, and here we are so far deep into the career, we're sticking with said formula
30 years later.
Ballbreaker,
30 years, dude.
Stiff Upper Lip, Power Up, it's all
okay,
so similar that I can't really give you a whole lot of, I can't tell you what came off what record. It's drives me crazy, because I think Angus is great, 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 and I love Brian. I love these guys, love them, but it just, like I said, when they put something out,
can I say
two
this?
Songs in, I've heard it before. Yes.
I will say this first. I do really like Bon Scott AC/DC. Highway to Hell is where you've heard Bon Scott. Mm-hmm. However, I didn't like this album. I didn't, man. Like even like Back in Black to an extent can get super one trick by the end. Ugh. To a fair extent.
God, I can't believe,
dude,
I raised you.
Dude, the first song is mixed so low. It sounds like it was mixed in aluminum. Like, I don't. And Angus Young's voice. What happened to his voice?
He's not the singer.
He's never. Oh, right. It's Brian Scott. Sorry.
Brian Scott would be a heck of a lead singer.
I get their names mixed up.
You're right.
Because they do mm-hmm. have the same word as their first name. But what happened to Brian? Brian Johnson was never the best of singers.
But he's a sound.
He's a sound.
Right.
But
and an attitude. Lord, is he an attitude?
His voice is so much worse on this album. Like even.
I don't know about that. I feel like it kind of sounds pretty much the same. But we'll move on from
that's
that
a criticism.
Because I did absolutely have a record I loved I listened to this week from the Goody Mob. Yes.
The new Goody Mob.
The Dungeon Family cohorts that rolled with Outkast back in the day are back with an album called Survival Kit, and it is my leader in the clubhouse for Album of the Year.
Think so.
Absolutely
leader
not.
In the clubhouse for album of
okay.
the year.
Okay.
That's what I said.
Absolutely
okay.
not.
I just said it twice.
To make
love
it even more official.
Yes.
All right.
I feel like the album
Now, I will...
Can I just say this
I'll first qualify though? That by saying I've listened to it 3 times in one day, so and it's entirely also, possible that it will hit me differently.
And you also haven't listened to... And you've only listened to the new Bruce album. You haven't really listened to a lot of new music this year.
Listen to everything that's new.
No, you did not.
Everything. Absolutely not.
I will say this. The album, even though it's only 53
I'll say I did minutes, not miss a single record this whole year.
Yes, you did. even though...
You must spend most of your time listening to music.
I actually sleep with headphones on.
Dude, he...
there we go.
He totally listened to the new Dorian Electra.
Oh, dude. Yeah, absolutely. What were your feelings on Dorian Electra's My Agenda?
It was not this album.
Do you know who Rebecca Black is?
You're right. I mean,
do you know who Rebecca Black is, Dad?
Never met her.
I don't know her.
Even though, I will say this, even though it is only 53 minutes and 47 seconds, it's 16 songs, so it can track a little bit. of course it's not as good as Soul Food, but I will never really expect them to get better than Soul Food.
I'm pretty fond of Still Standing in World Party, but...
Moving right along. what other new stuff did you guys listen to?
The new Rocky Romero single.
Of New Japan Pro Wrestling fame.
And, as an artist, famous.
Not exactly. What genre is it?
Hip-hop? I don't know what to call Rocky's music.
You could call it rap, but then that rap would be using some legwork there, you know?
I love Rocky. I do not love his music.
he needs to stop. That was a joke. If you're ambitious and if you like making music, please
keep putting stuff out there. Somebody might like it. Yeah. You may reach somebody.
But that was a joke.
That's a fact, though.
Keep both feet on the ground. Keep reaching for the stars. Casey Kasem said that.
I will say that we all need to prepare for the deluge of Christmas music coming.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
I'm not prepared for it. I do work in a place that plays music over the loudspeakers.
All I want for Christmas is you.
And I will hear a ridiculous amount of Michael Bublé and not Celine Dion.
Mariah Carey.
I don't know why I equate them together. She brings it. Don't get me... That's the thing, man. If I only had to listen to Mariah Carey like 3 times a year, it would be transcendental. I would look forward to those 3 times. But unfortunately, I have to listen to her several hundred times per year.
Really?
It's bad.
Why do you have to listen to her several hundred times?
Because you work in a place that plays it.
Not over the last couple of years. I've gotten lucky with me working in places where I can either play my own music or there's no music playing. But this time, I mean, I have to listen to Miley Cyrus's The Climb on... like 4-5 times a day.
Nice.
I hate that song. Dude, what kills me is that every other song is honestly fine. They play stuff like Last Night by The Strokes, which we just talked about a couple weeks ago. Right. I heard it and I was like, dude, that's so cool.
Right.
Just stuff like that where I recognize and like the music. The Steady As She Goes by... Is it
The Strokes? It's Reckon Tears. It's one of Jack White's other bands.
Dude, it rules. I love that song.
Right. The Reckon Tears are amazing.
Rules.
Right.
But yeah, man, I'm not ready. Not ready for Christmas.
It's going to be tough.
I like the 7 different versions of Mommy Kissing Santa Claus that you'll get. Every version gets better.
Yes.
Every version.
Dude, Green Day's cover this year is going to be...
Amazing.
Wait, Green Day covered that?
We're just hoping.
I'm hoping.
Wishing it into existence.
I see Carly Rae Jepsen put out a Christmas song. Listen to that.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, well, is that a wrap? What are we doing next week?
Next week, we are doing a more recent album.
Ah.
A lot. Mostly because we've been doing a lot of stuff. This one was suggested by Jared.
And because I don't listen to any new music.
No, you don't, actually. You only listen to artists that started in, like, the 90s and 80s, and then you just kind of... You've never listened to anyone that started in 2010.
You don't know me at all.
I absolutely know you. Dad, define MC Ride.
No.
Okay, that's fair. But no, what we'll be talking about is an album that I really, really like. 2012's Frank Ocean's Channel Orange. I love that album, man. Frank Ocean is so talented.
I love Caribbean Queen.
What is that?
What? It's Billy Ocean.
Oh.
It was a joke.
Oh man, see.
But you would be introducing yourself as joke killer.
I like how you make jokes that no one's gonna get.
Everybody knows who Billy Ocean is.
I know of Billy Ocean.
He's sharing this. He gets out of his dream and into my car.
I think there was a joke in like a sitcom where it was like Billy Ocean started doing the moonwalking thing, and then Michael Jackson like chomped on his flavor, and the girl was mad about it. I don't know. That's all I know about Billy Ocean.
Okay, can we talk about this? So recently.
Man, I don't know what the heck.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
Recently, we do this like weekly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't even buy records. We went to the record store and just sometimes just look at stuff.
Revolver Records, 12th Avenue. Scored a record. Listened to some guys argue about music. It's good for the soul. Felt like I walked into High Fidelity. Ever seen High Fidelity?
No, man, you are really swinging this.
High Fidelity.
And all of
John
these are
Cusick
missing.
And Jack.
All of these are missing.
Jack, Jack Black.
I've never seen
Jack
it.
Black like argues with people about music when they come in to buy a record, and he kicks them out if they don't know enough. They're not allowed to buy music.
Speaking of
fantastic.
Speaking
movie.
Of movies that quite surprised us. While I looked into the, I looked at the bottom, and while I was at the record store, I looked at like there was.
Oh yes, yes.
Not necessarily a thing there, but it was kind of like on the floor, pressed up against something, and it said Sergeant Pepper's, but it wasn't the Sergeant Pepper's album cover. It was just kind of the words Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. It's kind of a weird logo, and I picked it up, and it said by Bee Gees.
And Peter Frampton.
And Peter Frampton.
And then he says, Dad, look at this.
I said, what is this?
I said, that's actually a movie, son. He said, what? I said, yeah, that's a movie. Aerosmith does...
Didn't Aerosmith, like, kidnap somebody?
Aerosmith kidnaps Strawberry Fields, who is a young lady that Peter Frampton likes, and Peter Frampton has to run in and save her. Because they sing Come Together, right? The version of Come Together you've heard Aerosmith do is from that movie, and it's about the only thing that lived past that movie.
Is this a rib?
No, this is a legit
dead serious
movie out there called Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and Peter Frampton is the lead of the band, his backup band is the Bee Gees of Saturday Night Fever fame, and go out there and check that out. It's amazing.
I almost bought it as a joke.
It is surreal.
What?
That seems like one of those like AI generated albums. You know what I mean? That just seems like one of those things where it just seems like you threw random words together.
Yeah.
Like a Mad Libs.
But you know, Steven Tyler abducts some poor young lady and then singing about hold you in his arms until you can feel his disease. It's good, man. It's good.
Her name's Strawberry Fields.
Strawberry Fields.
That's her name.
That is
That's
her name.
That's her Christian name. The name that she will go before God with at the end of time.
Or Pepper. If she winds up marrying Sergeant Pepper.
Strawberry Pepper is not a good name. Okay, we can... Okay.
What?
All right.
I
amazing.
If you married somebody, would your first name change to their last... What?
No, is Sergeant Pepper's first name or his last name? I'd imagine
Well, I don't
last.
Think his first name is Sergeant.
You're right.
Moving on.
Okay, go ahead. Moving along.
Moving along. next week.
So we had a good week, right?
I had a great week.
I had a great week.
Great week.
This album was great.
I love the record store.
Next.
Revolver Records, 12th Avenue.
You can pick up Sgt. Pepper's by Peter Frampton and the Bee Gees.
It's there.
It might not be. It might be.
Along with Coltrane and Miles Davis. Not that far away from each other. Well,
dude.
In quality, they're quite far away from each other.
Dude,
we should
okay.
talk about some jazz records at some point.
Can I? Absolutely.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Can I say this? Okay, so when we walked up there, there was this one record. It was Arctic Monkeys Live, and Dad said, "Oh, look at that! Are you a Monkees fan?" And I went, "Okay, don't call them Monkees, but like that's like bad." But I walked up to it and I picked it up. $49.99. Then I looked on the back, and it was just like AM and Suckin' and See. Do I Wanna Know was on there twice. And not
it's a good song.
It's a really good song.
It was actually, I believe it was Arctic Monkeys.
It was like live, two different live performances.
Two completely different live concerts, yeah. Both acoustic sets. So it was a lot of times with especially with vinyl, the rarity of it changes the price of it. You know what I mean? And this would be a rare thing, which is pretty neat if that's your, if that's
absolutely
how you swing.
But I'm not paying $50 to hear Do I Want to Know twice.
But somebody will.
Somebody yeah. will.
Which is good for Revolver Records on 12th Avenue.
Yes.
Anyways.
Let's see if we can get one more segue in this episode.
Moving on.
Yes.
Next week will be Frank Ocean's Channel Orange. We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Go Home Heat
this
Production.
This is a Go Home Heat Production.
Copyright.
Go Home.
2020.